59 of Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, America. Another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Yeah, welcome everybody to another edition of our Minuteman University interviews, where we are taking an hour to talk to different Second Amendment advocates, people in the industry and the community that are working towards Second Amendment efforts. And tonight we're chatting with Trey, Ghost Tactical, we're friends from Gun Channels and well, pretty much all the social media platforms. Been kicking it for a couple of years. This show is emulates a couple of our favorite podcasts, the James, what's it called, Out of Order with James Kalita podcast from New Jersey, Driving Riding Shotgun with Charlie, another great podcast, and then Gun Freedom Radio, all great Second Amendment podcasts. My only complaint is that because they have many people on or their shows are only half an hour, you don't get enough time with the people. So in this series, what I'm trying to do is introduce who we're talking to and then give them an hour to talk about what they do and they've done, why they do it, which I think is important for all of us, and then how they do it. So we get a little glimpse as to, you know, these, they're all just regular people, how they're managing their time and their motivation using the tools that we've got. We've talked to Trey a lot, so this will be a little bit different. So we're good friends, but Trey, take an hour, tell us about what you're doing, why, and how you do it.
Oh man, so there's no pressure at all, is there? It's just, so I guess you're gonna go away and come back in an hour, is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I'll be here, but my big idea here is to give you an hour to chat about your stuff.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you and I have, I mean, you know pretty much everything there is to know about me, but a lot of people out there may not know, and that's cool. I appreciate you letting me come on and maybe spread the gospel of Ghost Tactical a little bit, so appreciate you, buddy.
You bet. So what all are you doing? Ghost Tactical, but what is Ghost Tactical?
You know, we started this June of 2017, so it's almost been 2 years. It's, it's almost been 2 years that we started doing videos for YouTube and all that stuff. And it really came down to, I used to do a lot of competitive shooting, and I was at the range one day practicing for a big match. And there was a guy there watching me kind of train and all that. And he said, oh man, that's, I've always wanted to do that. You should do a video to tell people how to do that. And I was like, whatever. And, so he talked me into it, and so I did a little series of three or four videos for IDPA for beginners and all that, and kind of really enjoyed getting involved with the YouTube kind of stuff. So I thought that was kind of fun, and it's kind of just turned in to meeting more people. Getting involved with Gun Channels was very instrumental in my growth, not just with having kind of a core back support and support group of Gun Channels, but obviously meeting, you know, you and Yankee and Matt and different people and Clover and all these guys that have been there and kind of done that and helped me kind of maneuver, if you want to say, around the landscape of social media, which I had never been involved in. So I started doing it basically because it was fun and it was a hobby. And then the more you get involved, you know, I'm not saying that was never two-way unaware. I was always conscious of the Second Amendment and it was always important, but I never really kind of looked at myself as being an advocate or at least trying to be an activist of any scale until this started happening. And then when you're kind of putting yourself in that spotlight of being in the media, you have to really kind of be aware of the surroundings and what's happening and all of that and what's affecting the community. And I kind of got into the Second Amendment, but a lot more, I should say, at least publicly got involved with trying to do things Second Amendment wise. And a lot of that comes down to you. So I appreciate you for that. But a lot of it just comes down to, for me, my mission with the channel is concealed carry. My biggest thing is I would love to see people, everybody carrying every day, whether it's concealed or open, it makes no difference, but I choose concealed carry most of the time, but carrying every day, being proficient, being that everyday warrior, getting training should you need to. And that's one of the projects we're doing, is trying to break down the stigma of what training is. And basically, you know, really just kind of spreading the gospel of being part of the gun culture in that community.
Right on. So when you talked about getting encouraged to create a video to explain the shootings. Was that something you'd already been watching YouTube and knew what that was involved, or was that a new challenge or something new to delve into?
Well, I mean, I had watched YouTube before, and I probably watched the same ones that everyone else watched, you know, Military Arms and Such and Yankee and you and all them. But, you know, I watched them, but I never even thought about the concept of doing it myself, if that makes any sense at all. So it was definitely new. It was just literally one of those things where I literally turned my cell phone on, and my first video was terrible. It's a selfie and all that, but that's one of my bigger videos still to this day. Go figure. I get emails weekly, people emailing me and all of that and commenting, hey, thanks, these videos have really helped. So that's just testament right there that for anyone out there that's looking to turn that camera on, the quality as far as having these big flashy cameras and a tripod and all that, they have to be there or no one's going to watch it is false. Because like I said, the very first video I did, I literally held my camera up on a cell phone at the range and kind of went through my gear of what I take to a competition shoot. And I still to this very day, 2 years later, get comments and emails literally every week thanking me for the information. So yeah, it was definitely new for me.
So again, a bunch of questions. I'm going to ask one of my own first, though, since we're, you mentioned you weren't really doing the social media stuff. So you mentioned watching YouTube. I don't think a lot of people think of that as social media because it's just you know, the largest platform to watch videos. So I think people just consider that almost just using the internet, right? So as far as like the other things, obviously you're, I'm going to say you mastered them at this point. You've got a presence in all of them, and you know you use them to an extent. All of that came around after the fact once you started a channel, or had you been on Instagram and other things first?
No, I literally I literally did that video. I had a YouTube channel back in like 2007, 2008, 2009, and basically what that was my daughter played travel softball and traveled all over the country and all that. And for you that know me, my wife's Japanese, so her family's over in Okinawa. And so my wife would videotape all of my daughter's games while she was growing up. And I'd make like highlight reels of these different tournaments, and I'd make a little video and put them on this YouTube channel for my wife's family over in Japan to kind of keep up with my daughter. So if you want to call that, I mean, it was literally just to put them on there for them to be able to keep up with my daughter when she was growing up playing sports, softball, basketball, track, and all that. But as far as actually being a content creator of actually doing produced stuff and all that, no, I that literally came after I shot the first video. I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, what's my channel name going to be? And my nickname and call sign, whatever you want to call it, in the Marines was Ghost. And so I just called it Ghost Tactical.
Well, you just covered a question that came up on the Gun Channel side earlier from Pete, who was asking where you got the name. Somebody asked where you got the name. And then Pete was asking, what did you do in the Marines?
I worked in a unit called 1st SRIG, which was 1st Surveillance Reconnaissance Intelligence Group. And it was an intelligence community-based unit. We had us. It was Force Recon, Anglico. Then you had the 11th, 13th, and 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit were all under SRIG's banner. Now SRIG no longer exists. It's part of Marine Special Ops, MARSOC, they call it now. But back when I was in, it was called 1st SRIG, Surveillance Reconnaissance Intelligence Group.
So then where did Ghost come from?
What's that?
I was asking where the nickname came from in the Marines.
Yeah, it was one of those where I was 19 and I was with my very first unit, which was at that time it was called 1st Combat Assault Battalion. Excuse me. And I was always a good athlete. I was always fast. And obviously, I don't tan very much. I'm Irish, so I kind of burn and peel. It's kind of an evolving thing. I don't know if it was because I was really pale or something, but I was always fast and could get in and out and move quickly. And when the guy said, man, the dude moves like a ghost. And the ghost just kind of stuck when I was over in Okinawa.
And we rarely get to pick our nicknames. So
no. I mean, if you pick your nickname, it's not really a nickname, is it?
That's a really good point. Yeah, exactly. And go around saying, hey, call me knives. You know, you're going to be called like mashed potatoes or something.
Clover out there is being funny on the YouTube side. So I dressed up for you. He's making fun of me. So I dressed up for you. I hope that, you know. No, I'm at work. So that's why I'm kind of dressed up still.
So, actually, we're not getting any questions. There's a lot of chatter on the YouTube side, but there's questions on the Gun Channel side. Question from David is, why is concealed carry so important of an avenue for Ghost?
Why is concealed carry so important? I truly believe that concealed carry is the essence, in my opinion, and everyone has their own reasons why they feel strongly support the Second Amendment. But for me, the concealed carry side of things is the true essence of being that what they called back then a well-regulated militia, which I interpret. I'm not saying this is how it was meant to be, but I interpret a well-armed, well-trained citizen. Okay. And so back then, the word militia meant the citizenry. So I think that someone who is proficient, trained, and well-armed and as a citizen is our first line of defense in society towards evil. So for me, that's why concealed carry is so important.
Right on. See, I don't know how to take this one because we've chatted a lot. So to keep it on the what topic, okay. You've got the channel, of course, but then you've got projects. You alluded to the training, the project training day. You've got the podcast. You've got the drill of the month. You're probably missing some here. How do you come up with these and how do you juggle them and prioritize? Has it been an evolution or is it a plan?
It's more of an evolution. I wanted to start when I started Drill of the Month, for instance, that was in late 2017, maybe October ish of 2017 maybe 6 months or so after I started. I wanted to come up with a concept about doing range drills because I love going to the range. And for me, being proficient is key. So I wanted to maybe catalog. And honestly, God, it didn't start out this way. I just thought it'd be fun to give people more of a competition. Maybe if you throw a competition at someone, like in me, I'm the ultimate competitor guy. I'll cut your throat if I can beat you in marbles or checkers. I mean, I'm that guy. So competition, if someone throws a competition at me, I'm ready to go. So I thought if we start doing maybe a competition to where it gets people out to the range and shooting and make it small, short drills to where it's not going to take forever. You know, you can do it in one magazine or whatever. It's something that's quick and short, but it's also working on a specific skill. That's where it kind of started and it evolved, at least the drill of the month evolved into wanting to create a catalog. And it kind of corresponds in with training. I'm a big proponent of training and getting education. I'm not saying the tactical stuff. There's all sorts of different training that you can go to, but going to have someone help you with a skill. It doesn't have to be through these big dogs or whatever, but anyone that can help you get better at your skill is. But anyways, so I wanted to provide a catalog of free, simple drills that if somebody was to look for good drills to get them better at a specific task or just overall proficiency as a marksman, I wanted to give them a catalog that they could go to, print out targets on 8.5 by 11, nothing these big crazy ones. Everything's on 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Very simple, 10 to 12 rounds maximum. I think the biggest one we had was maybe 20 or 25 rounds. That was a condensed dot torture test. But most of them I try to keep, you know, under 15 rounds for sure. And then we always shoot them from inside, you know, anywhere from 5 feet to 21 feet. I want to keep it inside that concealed carry self-defense 21 feet to where people are at least proficient in that space. So that's kind of where it's evolved into, is trying to give everyone a free catalog of drills and targets to utilize to help, hopefully help them one day.
Right on. You've been making those up yourselves too. I mean, like I said, the abbreviated dot drill is sort of one that's been making the rounds for years, but for the most part, you come up with the drills. You're not going to some PDF archive and reposting.
Yeah, no. And they're all based. I mean, I'm not smart enough to come up with a lot of these drills myself. A lot of them are drills that I've done for a lot of years myself, and I've kind of changed them and, you know, made them my own. But, you know, you use El Presidente and, you know, the Mozambique and the Bill drill, you know, these most drills are based off of maybe five or six historical drills. So they're all kind of variations of a lot of drills. At this point, you just work on, you know, I'll try to do a drill where it's different mechanics, whether it's front sight or grip pressure or breathing or shooting from reset or the draw or whatever. I try to kind of go into a little bit every month as to a specific drill or a specific area for improvement type, basically.
Yeah, like you say, most of the drills out there seem to be like focused on a specific skill set that they're trying to focus, you know, enhance or.
Okay, so question from Smeggy real quick.
Yeah.
Smeggy on the YouTube asked if there's a place where they all are. Yes. If you go to my website, and I'll put it out here, I actually put the whole thing, because if you go to my website, which is ghosttacticalproductions.com, if you go under drill of the month tab, I've got all the targets. Every month I add the new one, but all the targets, you know, there's a couple that I might have deleted or couldn't find or whatever the issue was. If you go to this, I'm gonna put the link over here real quick in this chat for you. If you go to drill the month tab on my website, you'll be able to see all the old targets in their PDFs. You can download them, print them out, whatever you want. All the old targets, except for a couple here and there, are over there. So there is the link over there, and I'll put it over in the Gun Channels chat as well. So, if you want to utilize them, they're, you know, that's what they're there for. So,
yeah, it's kind of cool. And the way that you're doing it monthly, giving some people an incentive to do it, you know, just timely, and you're abbreviating some of them, is giving people some, experience, you know, seeing them for the first time or seeing the concept of them. Giving people a taste of what training is. And that's really what your another one of your goals would be, is to, with the training day, right, is to show them that it's not all, I don't know, people get this idea that it's ninja rolls and loops and stuff, but it's, you know. Anyway, so one of the questions came up was any drill of the month with rifles coming up?
Yeah, actually, that's something that I want to start doing as well, as rifle, pistols, but the AR, AK. Eventually, I'll probably reach out and maybe doing some long range stuff. I'm just dabbling into the long range stuff now, honestly. So, we'll probably have some 200 yard shot, something like that, or whatever, coming up in the next few months, to where people will have at least use their AR, AK, or something like that, platform guns, and then eventually probably evolving into longer range shots as well. But yeah, I could definitely, I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually already looking to kind of develop some drills for rifle-based drill of the months as well. Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the neat things about the way that you're doing the drill of the month is it encourages people to use their cameras and to, you know, post a video response. And that's another one of your goals, to get people out there and participating in all of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is, you know, and I tell people all the time that, you know, if we could just get people that are on the fence about guns, I'm not saying the anti-guns, but people that are on the fence, if we could just get them to the range, you know, that's the easiest argument that we could make, is we all remember pulling that trigger for the first time and the exhilaration and the adrenaline rush, the excitement we got for pulling that trigger for the first time. If we could just get people to the range and experience what we experience all the time, and the enjoyment of it, and to a certain extent, the calming factor and the relaxation of shooting firearms, a stress release or whatever, I think that as a community, that might be the best way to bring more people in, is to create a fun, safe environment for them to experience firearms for the first time. And but yeah, that's the whole point, is getting people out there. And the more we can get people out there and shooting, you know, we can all say that we're for the Second Amendment, but if we never practice it, we never put that into our lives, we never go to the range, you know, owning a gun and putting it into a, you know, nightstand and never touching it for years isn't being part of the gun community. That's being a gun owner, but it's not being part of the culture. And I think that the more we can get people out there explaining to and showing other people that we're just normal everyday people. We're people you go to church with, we go to the grocery store, our kids hang out together. We're soccer moms, soccer dads, whatever you want to call them. We're just literally normal everyday people that just happen to exercise our Second Amendment and enjoy firearms. I think that that is really what we should be doing.
I like how when you do this too, you know, you can be a like you're saying, you can be a gun owner, but if you don't use it, you can be a proficient gun owner, not share it. And you know, as far as a member of the community, you know, you're really participating, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but you're encouraging that participation as well, so that, like you just said, the people that are, you know, true representations of our Second Amendment community are not hidden in the corners. You can be the most valid member of the Second Amendment community if you never share what you do. The rest of the world, has anybody know that we're out there? Okay, yeah. So, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. No.
Clover was joking around earlier, but one of the things we didn't really talk about as far as the what you do is how you got here. And between the Marines and now, I guess presently, you did golf. So as was being a professional golfer, has that helped what you're doing, or?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. I you know, I was always an athlete. I played a lot of different sports growing up and played at a high level, and many of them had opportunities to play college in several different sports. So I was always around athletics. The professional golf thing came after I had a knee surgery in the Marine Corps. Part of my rehab was walking, and a couple of buddies in the Marines said, "Hey, we're gonna go walk 9 holes this week. You want to go?" And I was like, "No, I don't do golf." But I went with them. They said, "Come on, it'll be good for your rehab." So I went, and I didn't play the first time. I just went out there and walked and hit a couple shots. Oh, that's kind of fun. And then started playing. And a year later, I turned pro. So I guess I caught on pretty quickly. But for the golf side of things, what it did for me, and it's golf is in essence a target sport. You've got a green, you got a flag, you got a hole. That's your target. And so you have to try to figure out how to get this little ball close to this target. And so in essence, I guess it probably has help where, you know, in golf, you have to kind of focus small to miss small, what they say. And in shooting's the same way, you want to aim small to miss small. So I think in a way, a lot of it has. It's also an individual sport, and shooting is obviously, you can be part of a team, but it's an individual thing. So I, you know, for me, I don't know if it really played a whole lot into it, but it did help me. The focusing that you had to do playing golf at a high level and shooting are probably the same. You had to be able to focus on small targets. So I guess in a way that probably did.
That's interesting. I just sort of assumed someone who'd be a professional anything with sports grew up, you know, with a thirst for it. It's interesting that you weren't really anything into golf until.
I didn't play golf until 21. 21 was the first time to play golf, yeah.
And then from going that to becoming a pro, obviously you're able and interested and, you know, to attack something and succeed at it. I'm guessing it's not, you know, anybody walks up and becomes a golfer isn't a pro. So congratulations on that.
Well, I'll tell you the interesting thing is this is how I always live my life. Whatever I do, I give it 150%, you know, whatever you want to call it, that cliche, but I put everything into it. Whatever I'm doing, whether if I'm at work or if I'm doing a YouTube or I'm doing this or I'm doing that, whatever I'm doing at that moment, I'm 100% focused on that task. When I got into golf, luckily we're living in just outside of Camp Pendleton. We lived off base out in San Diego area. And right across the highway was a driving range that closed at like 10 o'clock at night. And I kind of made a deal with a guy over there at the driving range that he let me pick, you know, he let me hit balls for free if I go pick them up at night. So I picked them all up and all that. So I basically would sit there and for hours at a time, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, I'd go over there when everyone's asleep. My daughter was asleep by then. And I would just go hit balls for a couple hours and just, you know, I basically taught myself and kind of figured I've always been good to kind of figure out how to make my body do what I want it to do. Does that make sense? And so that golf just did that. But yeah, I mean, I've always kind of, no matter what I've done, I just kind of, I dive into it and I kind of make that a priority. So when I dove into the YouTube thing or I dive into whatever it is, I give everything to that.
Right on. Now, I'm no professional golfer, but I did live next to a golf course for some amount of time. And from my experience with golf, it's not, you know, you can go to the range and shoot distance all day long, and you can shoot accurately into a cup or whatever it's called, a hole all the time. But there's a lot more to golf than that. There's the whole like wind and knowing the range, the lay of the, is it a range, the course, I guess. So again, I've been around people that play golf, and I know there's a lot more nuance to it than just skill. People with, you can't brute force your way to play golf consistently, correct?
No, it's actually, the thing about golf is it is the easiest game in the world to have fun at, because you can be absolutely god awful terrible and still have an absolute blast playing golf with your buddies, you know. But it is probably one of the hardest sports to be good at. And it just comes down to, and this is going to sound conceited, and I don't want it to sound conceited, but to become a professional golfer, a professional anything in any sport, professional shooter, professional anything that is physical, a lot of it is just natural ability, athleticism, or whatever. I have 20/10 vision. I have very good hand-eye coordination. I've always been able to have basically make my body. I could watch someone do something, and let's say it's tennis. I could never play tennis, but if you give me about 3 days to practice, I'm going to beat most people. And that's not being conceited. It's just, I don't know why, but I've always kind of been able to just be good at athletic sports. So to be a professional in any sport, you have to have just natural athleticism. And then at that point, it really comes down to taking your natural gifts and honing them in and chiseling you down to where you are something, you know.
Or you're consistent. You're able to call it up and do what's needed on call.
That's the thing is muscle memory and repetition. You don't have to have a great swing. But if you can make the same swing every single time to where you know what your ball is going to do, or in shooting, you don't have to have the best mechanics. But if you know that every time you pull a trigger, you're going to miss low left, well, eventually you're just going to start aiming a little bit higher right on every single shot because you at least are consistent in your pulls. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know it does to you, but I mean, you know, that's the thing, is just being consistent. Like you said, anything that you do, being consistent is really the key to a lot of things.
I had another question, but I can't think of it now. So I guess we'll go back to an easy one. It'll be a bit of a cleanser. Trying to see who asked it on the Gun Channel side earlier. Jim asked, AK or AR?
I love the AK platform. I absolutely love it. The 7.62x39 round itself is one of my favorite rounds ever. I absolutely love the AK platform. I do appreciate an AR is being modular and being adaptive to different calibers all the time. You can just change out barrels or uppers and you've got whatever you want. But just going to the range and shooting them, honestly, I would have to say just for fun, AK, for life situations, probably AR, because it is a little more flexible. But just to shoot, I love the AK. Absolutely love the AK platform.
I think a lot of us who follow Ghost already knew that answer, but yeah. A little bit of a palate cleanser there. It got me to remember the thing I was trying to ask you here. But so we've spent maybe half an hour now chatting about what you've been doing. And I think I've learned a lot. I didn't know about the, you know, your what would you call it? Like your involvement with, I knew you were a pro golfer, but I didn't know, you know, the story. But as we transition into the why you do what you do, I know you've addressed that to some extent, but I like to ask people during these interviews just the open question, why you're doing it, to give you an opportunity to elaborate on that. But before that, obviously you've done things that are, challenging and you've been successful at them. So do you have any daily rituals or tips for success? Do you have any things that you do that you've learned or habits that are valuable?
Tips for success. I'm one of those guys. Am I allowed to curse?
Sure.
Okay. I like to make silver out of shit in any situation in life. I'm probably the ultimate optimist, and for some people it pisses them off. But I always see the glass is half full. I always try to make the best out of any situation if possible. So, you know, and it's not that something I do every day, but I wake up every morning and I say, today's going to be a good day. You know, it's nothing like corny, like cliche, hey, you know, people like you and today's, you know, I don't do that, but I always have the attitude and the feeling that no matter what comes my way today, I'm going to make the best out of today and make it a good day somehow, some way. And there are days that in life just takes over and there's some bad days. But if you can always try to find a silver lining in any bad situation, that's how you learn from those situations. And so I'm always, the best way to succeed is believe you're going to succeed and believe that every day is going to be a positive day somehow, some way.
Certainly something you have effect over each day.
Sure.
Mel is asking on the YouTube side, do you have a golf channel? Have you thought about
it? I don't. I've never thought about that. Maybe one day, but between a job, I work 60 hours a week and then the YouTube thing, I don't think I could have another channel. I might incorporate golf into some stuff every now and then, but no, I do not have a golf channel and I don't foresee me having one anytime soon.
We chat on Clover's chats on Thursdays and on the 2A workshops often about monetizing channels and dealing with the funding aspect of doing any kind of project online. I would think that the potential in golf has got to be amazing with all the stuff that people buy. I'm sure there's some competition out there, but that's interesting. Well, there's some other questions coming in, but I want to give you a time to talk about that, the why. So it's half an hour into the show. Take as long as you want. Why you do what you do?
Honestly, I've actually become extremely passionate about our community, our family, especially the Gun Channels family. And it is very much a family, but I've been very passionate about creating content. Like I said, when I kind of decide to do something, I'm one of those that kind of just goes all in with it and really enjoys, for me, and Clover makes fun of me all the time, saying that I'm the only person he knows that actually enjoys editing videos. I actually enjoy editing videos because I'm not an artistic person at all. I can literally mess up a circle and a stick figure. I love editing and being artistic in that. And so the why is, for me, it is a chance to hopefully influence people that may look at me and say, this is a normal guy that has a normal job, who's a high school baseball and softball coach, and he's this, that, and the other. And, oh, by the way, he's a gun guy. And so I think that for me, it's important for all of us to show everyone that we're not evil just because we carry guns. I think it's important for me to make sure that whatever message people are watching on YouTube, they don't have to watch my stuff, but maybe there is somebody out there that has the same interests in me that may not have an instructor around or may not have someone that can help them. And I'm not saying by any means that I'm a guru or an expert at anything, but I have learned a lot of stuff through my hours of training and also in the military stuff that maybe I could pass on a little bit of that knowledge and help somebody else. But honestly, the biggest why is I absolutely love this. I absolutely love being part of a community that most people don't realize is very welcoming and open arms. The gun community is a very welcoming community to most of us. Are the vast majority of the gun community is open to anyone. I really just enjoy helping people. I enjoy, like, again, I go back to this. I love seeing someone pull a trigger for the first time. The smile, if you don't pull a trigger and just have that adrenaline rush, whether you're scared or excited or whatever, just the reaction is awesome to see new shooters, and especially if you put them in a safe environment and all of that. But getting new shooters out there, getting more people added to our community is awesome. And, you know, I'd like to sit there and say I want to change the world and I want to be a pillar of the 2A community. I have no desire to be a pillar of anything. I want to put out my message and my mission. And if there's one person that I can help down the road, then I've been successful. And I think people get into for the fame and fortune. And that is by no means why I do this at all. I do it because I enjoy it and I really want to help people. I got a lot of help from other people. Now it's time to pay it forward and help, try to help other people as well.
Right on. Good answer. Thanks. FYI, if you help one person, you are changing the world.
Well, true. True. See, that's making silver out of shit right there.
There we go. So John Z from New York brought up a great point over on the YouTube side, and I forgot to talk about it because when we were doing the what all you do, what's up with the range? You manage a range.
I'm the pistol director. We have a shooting club. It's called the Cleburne County Shooting Club. We've got over 400 members that we have skeet and trap, shotgun bays, like four of those, got a couple pistol bays, and then a rifle range. It goes out to about 250 yards. And I'm on the board of that. I'm the pistol director. So I manage the pistol stuff, and we have fun shoots once a month. Starting next month, I'm going to start doing like weekly clinics for kids and for women and for couples, and just trying to bring people in to get more people into shooting and say, if you make it a fun, relaxed environment, maybe we can get more people to come in and shoot. So that's my role as a pistol director, is really just kind of trying to bring more people into firearms and using the pistol side of it to do that.
Now, with the Operation Training Day, you're going around and meeting up with various instructors, taking their courses, and I'm leading into an ambush here. One of the instructors that we would have all liked to have had the pleasure of experiencing a class with or some instruction from would have been Jeff Cooper.
Absolutely.
And as Pete says on the YouTube side, a quote from Jeff Cooper is, a golf course is a willing and deliberate misuse of a perfectly good rifle range.
Yes, it is.
So how do you deal with that it's got to be some kind of a mental dilemma for you every time you walk out onto a golf course?
I absolutely understand that the golf course that I run here is about 110 acres. And that's a lot of cool shooting stuff we can utilize this range for. So, yeah, I'm very aware that a golf course is a waste of land, but it is what it is.
Well, here, I'll throw this out there for you. I know of a place where a friend of mine from high school goes in the winters, and in the winters they turn the range into a skeet shooting. So there's that opportunity.
Yeah, a lot of courses, especially up north, that there'll be snow on the ground from October till April in a lot of the up northern courses. And so they shut the golf course down. Obviously, you can't play golf when there's snow on the ground. And so they do utilize golf courses for other things. So that's awesome. Now, down here, we're open 24 hours, every day except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, but you know, we will get cold in the wintertime in Arkansas, but we might get a couple snows and a couple inches here and there, but very rarely are we going to close down the golf course. So it is open year round. But yeah, up north, absolutely. A lot of them do utilize it for other things. And I'm glad to hear that it is used for shooting of some sport.
Okay. So now the 3 points of this show are to talk about what you've been doing, and hopefully we've given people some new insight and given you a chance to elaborate on some of the, all the things a bunch of the things that you've got going on. And then we chatted about why, how do you do all this? Did you have a preferred, again, this is a tough conversation for us. We chat about this weekly in Clover's chat and quite a bit more often than that. But for those that might be watching, do you have particular favorite piece of equipment, phone, camera, keyboard, computer, little of all?
My go-to, this is going to sound weird, is I've got two pieces of equipment that have been with me from the beginning. Oh, my phone, but I'm not going to talk about one of those little Sony Handycam. It's a little HD, little handy cam that my wife had. That she, once again, going back to filming my daughter, we bought this one when she went to college and was going to play in college. And so we bought a new HD camera to film her college stuff. And when I started doing this, I kind of took it over, kind of stole it and made it my camera for YouTube, especially for the range stuff, because it has one of those flip out, you know, screens that you can rotate. So it could be looking at me and I could still see the screen to see, you know, with the frame. Yeah. And so that's why I took it. I thought, oh, this is great for the range. I'd be shooting and I can look over, make sure that I'm still in the frame and all that. And then a tripod. And I've got probably four or five tripods, but the one that I still take to SHOT Show and NRA and to the range, the legs are bent. And if someone told me one time that every tripod has a great story, and this tripod has a great story. It's just been beaten to hell, but it still holds up. So that's kind of my go-to tripod. I know how it's going to be, and I know that it's going to hold up to banging and all that. So my go-to tripod is still there from day one. And my camera, you know, cell phones are wonderful. You can do a lot of stuff, and especially now, these cell phones have better quality than anything else out there. But Handycam, I've always done that. Now people are getting involved with the what do you call them? The GoPros. GoPros are phenomenal, especially if you want to attach them to your person or whatever. Those are awesome. So, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to get started, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to do this forever. If you choose to upgrade stuff, you can, but a cell phone, you can, you've been doing this forever and you use basically your cell phone for everything. So yeah, so quality of the cell phones are amazing.
Yeah, everything since 2013 has been a cell phone.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about what we're doing. So I'm going to cheat a little bit and ask a different question that I don't get an opportunity to ask when I'm chatting with somebody who I don't chat with so often. So if you have $1 million or some kind of credit card or a sugar mama or angel investor, what piece of equipment is out there that you're not even considering, but yeah, I'd play with it if someone I could get it with, you know, no effort and just had it here to play with.
For like content stuff?
Yeah, content creation. What kind of tools would be like the ultimate?
Oh man, there's probably two of them. I'd love to get one of those high dollar, $10,000. Well, I think the JVC is the one that I see a lot, but actual like studio, like news camera type stuff. I mean, that would be badass.
Like the TV station is going to bring out and do coverage of her.
Yeah, you're talking maybe like 2,000 or 3,000 frames per second. So you can really do some awesome slow-mo stuff. That's what I would do, something for slow motion, a really cool camera that would do really awesome. Like actually slow down and see the projectile leaving the muzzle. I mean, that kind of a slow-mo would be cool. And then for the podcasting, I've seen them out there. They cost quite a bit of money, but you've got like these podcasting setups where you basically, if you have the money, you can buy like a professional radio station studio type podcasting thing where you've got 3 or 4 headsets and microphones and the soundboard and this, that, and the other. I think that would be really awesome to get both of those because, you know, they're a lot of money, but they're not absorbently out of mind reach. It's just, I don't have the money for them, but you know, I think you probably get both of them for $10,000 or $15,000 each. So, you know, for less than $50,000, I could be set up in a dream world for me, you know.
Right on. Now, the high speed stuff, that's not usually your cameras like what a TV crew is going to have. Those things look different. They look more like a piece of machinery with a lens sticking out the front. The ones I've seen.
And there's one that I saw. I saw a guy, I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube that's not gun related. I watch a lot of entrepreneurial and tech stuff. And well, this guy has one that was like $150,000, but it went down to 10,000 frames per second. If I had 150 grand, if you, like you said, if you premise, I have $1 million, then yeah, I'd go buy that $150,000 camera probably just for slow motion stuff. 10,000 frames per second would be awesome.
Just FYI too, a lot of the channels that start or that do high speed stuff now, you know, that's a big aspect, or they do it in all, They start out renting those things because most companies, you know, let's say you've got like a printing press. That's what most of those applications are. You've got some kind of machinery that runs at high speed and you need to film and see where a glitch is happening or see if something's tuned right. They'll rent one of these cameras. It costs, like you say, like just a ton of money. They'll rent them for an afternoon or for 2 days. These channels will just rent them, do their video footage. And a couple of them basically started getting kind of a relationship going with the rental places. Mm-hmm. Because they're the best, you know, I mean, anybody can look at a high-speed printing press. It's not really all that awesome. But watching, like you say, a projectile come out of a barrel, that's super impressive. It shows the capability of their machines and stuff.
And yeah, luckily, and I didn't think about that because that helps them pay for that product as well, you know. If they rent their camera out or whatever, you know, they're providing a service, but that actually helps them kind of finance this thing too. So I never even thought about that. That's a great idea. I wonder if I can go look around and see what they've got around here that I could.
Usually there's one regionally, at least, if not more, because back in the day there was at least regionally, because a lot of places need these things for a little while. They'll ship them though. They just put them in the mail. So a question came from Pete on the Gun Channel side. I thought it was a good one. Came back a little bit earlier, but I think this is a good time for it. What aspect of your experiences do you credit for your high level of ability to communicate as well as you do?
Oh man, I just talk. I don't know. I appreciate it. I don't consider myself at a high level of communication. I've never been nervous. I've always kind of, I know it might come across as surprising. I'm a pretty confident guy. I've always been confident. I've had no problems in my life speaking in public. I've never been in problem holding a conversation. I'd like to think I'm a fairly intelligent guy. And honestly, I just talk and I don't try to sound anything, you know, smart or dumb or I just talk and maybe I don't know how to answer that because I don't really try to do anything. I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that because I don't think of myself as a great communicator. I just try to talk and be myself. And if it's, I hope that it's, you know, people understand and get with the gist of what I'm saying, but you know, it's one of those things that I just talk. I'm sorry. I don't know how to answer that one.
No, it's a valid answer. And I think that illustrates what we're trying to do with this series is to show that we're just all regular people. I think, you know, if I had to answer it, it's just practice. I didn't take any classes. I mean, it wasn't your job in the military, for example, to give lectures or, you know, some kind of seminars or something where you had to speak publicly or, you know, you got some, you know, classes or something on that. So a question from David on the Gun Channel side is how much time do you put into your live Tuesday shows?
It really kind of all depends on what the topic is. If it's someone like, you know, tonight I've got Yuta and last week I had Double Dog Arms and I'll have guests on, then a lot of it is not really a whole lot of time because I probably know these people already. I've had discussions with them and it's like, kind of like this one where I'm giving them my platform to get their message out, their product out on those. Probably not a whole lot except for just, you know, like I said, I already know them or know their products probably, or they wouldn't be on my show.
Juggling that kind of thing.
What's that?
Juggling emails, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Juggling emails, you know, I'll send out, during the day, I'll send out, sometimes depending on the topic, I'll send out to, I have, you know, three or four people that I want on my show every week. I mean, usually it's you and Clover. Sometimes it's Mike, with NW Tactical. Sometimes it's Budget Guns and Gear with Mike. But I try to keep it to where it's like, you know, three or four because the conversation can run. But so every now and then, like, as you know, I'll send out an email. Hey, tonight's topic is going to be this. I'll make sure I send links out ahead of time. But most of the time, I would say an hour to an hour and a half prior to showtime, which I had to do earlier today because of this. I'd be in prep time right now. And it's really, if it's on a topic that's kind of controversial or something like that, I'll make sure that I go in and go and read articles and try to get my background. And, you know, most of the stuff is stuff that I'm interested in, know a lot of, not know a lot, but I'm already familiar with. So I don't have to put a whole lot. I don't want people to think that I spend hours upon hours. I'm not that guy. But I do probably an hour prior to showtime, hour and a half at most, just making sure that I'm caught up on any updated news, especially if it's a kind of a time sensitive thing. No, I'll,
reading the chat there. I think
am I popping?
No, you're just, it's weird. It's like your time shifted or something. Like your audio and your video are just off by a hair. Just refresh is what I'm going to suggest. I think it's just.
Well, I use OBS. So sometimes the audio and video are off because OBS, it does their little thing. So very well could be the fact that it could be that as well.
Yeah, it seems synced up now. So maybe it just was a pause. Okay. So that was a question that Pete asked earlier. What audio gear, mic, and mixer are you using now?
I typically use, I'm using a little clip-on mic right now for this. Something's going on. I might have to send the Blue Yeti. This is what I usually use. That's a Blue Yeti, my microphone, but something's been going on with it the last couple of weeks. I might have to send it in to get fixed. It's nothing bad. It's just that it sounds different. So I might have to do that. But typically on the live streams and all of that, I use that. For the range videos, I use these little clip-on mics. And I don't even know. I think they're from Booyah, B-O-Y-A or something like that. I use a lot of their stuff. It's pretty inexpensive stuff, but it's good quality. At least my experiences are. They're pretty good quality stuff. Mixer, I use a virtual mixer. It's called Voice Meter. And it's the one I use is Voice Meter Banana. And it's an actual virtual mixer. It's a software on the computer. So I use that.
Any issues with that? Like, I don't know if the computer has a problem, I guess would be the issue.
I mean, obviously there are times when the computer just wants to run slower or whatever, so it might take time and all that. But typically, no, I've never had major issues with Voice Meter. So I've been using it since day one, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Is it free?
It is free. Yeah, Voice Meter Banana is a free. When you download it, there is the software, and there's also a virtual cable that you also have. They're both free. Now they will come on and ask you to donate, and I think I gave them like $10 or something like that to donate to the creator, but it's, you don't have to. Everything is unlocked for free from the very beginning. Should you choose to donate to the creator, you can, and I think I've given them like $10 through PayPal or something like that, same thank you, but you don't have to do that for sure.
Right on. Well, it sounds like that'd be a good step for somebody anyway. If you're thinking about getting a mic and a mixer, get that one. If you don't like it, can always buy something, but that way you experimented with a virtual and it was free. And if it works for you, like it's working for Ghost, then done. You don't have to pay nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
So Pete, on the Gun Channel side, I asked a question. I'm going to ask a second question to it. But the first part he asked was favorite guest so far, guest he wants to have the most. So I guess maybe he's asking both questions. So favorite guest so far.
Favorite guest so far. Honestly, Jaeger, because I had very poor feelings towards James Jaeger prior to him coming on the show. And not only did he challenge me in person live to come train with him, now we're friends. And that wouldn't have happened had he not done that, because I still may not always like what he says on YouTube, but I respect his knowledge. I respect his passion for instructing in firearms. I respect how he treats his students, his staff, and his family. He is a good man. Whether or not I always agree with what comes out of his mouth, he's a good man. And I would have never have come to that conclusion had he not come on the show. So I'd say Jaeger has been my favorite so far, because it completely changed. It ultimately changed how I feel about somebody. And actually, it ultimately changed how I try to feel about people. Is I always will give people now the benefit of the doubt until I meet them in person and interact with them. So, yeah, I would say Jaeger for sure.
That's cool. You're the second person, well, maybe even more, but second Marine I know who had no interest at all in meeting Jaeger. And then once they've met him, they're good friends. So I appreciate that too. And when you do that kind of thing, I mean, it must happen for Jaeger, for lots of people, but, you know, for Jaeger probably often. But to have it happen in front of everybody, again, that's sharing the experience and growing the community and giving access to people who, you know, we don't all have a chance to do everything, but we can all share in when people are willing to put it out there. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem.
So let me add the other side of that. What would be the guest you'd like to have on the most? We'll open up our Rolodex here and get whoever you need.
you know this about me, and I think a lot of people do, but you know this about me. My two kind of firearm heroes, I read a lot of books and I watch a lot of videos. I would say one of two people, and it's going to be Masoud Ayoub or Clint Smith. I actually have had a wonderful, about an hour and 15 minute conversation with just me and Mike and Clint and Heidi, his wife, at SHOT Show off to the side, just kind of sit there and bullshit for about an hour, a little over an hour. I feel like I could probably get a hold of Clint and ask him, and he'd probably come on. I have no direct contact with Masoud Ayoub, but Masoud Ayoub, for me, honestly, if I had to pick one, it would be Masoud Ayoub. Masoud Ayoub is, for me, he was kind of like my first instructor, does that make sense, without having like a trainer. Like, listening and reading and watching Masoud Ayoub stuff was how I kind of got into figuring out different things about firearms. So I would definitely say Masoud Ayoub would be the one that I would love to get on. Okay, Smeggy. Yes, Smeggy wants me to say him. So yeah, my ultimate guess would be Smeggy. Yeah.
So let me just give you this in the side chat. And then we'll keep going. So
yeah, appreciate you. That's awesome. Thank you. That actually excites me. So yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, so we're wrapping up towards the end here. We want to do it about an hour. We both have things we got to do in the real life. So how do people get a hold of you? Where do they find you?
Yeah, you can go to, the easiest way probably is go to the website, ghosttacticalproductions.com, and I have all of my social media links there, podcasting, videos, Instagram, Facebook. Pretty much all of my links are there. But I am on Instagram. I'm on Full 30, Facebook, obviously Gun Channels. I'm on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. I'm basically anywhere that will allow me to pimp my stuff. I've hoarded myself out to those platforms. So I'm pretty much everywhere that you can be. I always put my phone number and email. If you want to email me, it's, you can email me info at ghosttactical.us. or ghosttactical@yahoo.com. Yes, I still have a yahoo.com. So you can send emails to me there. I've got a cell phone number that I can be reached at, and that's 530-364-4678. That's a business cell phone that you can always get a hold of me. I have no problem people calling or texting. Just make sure it's not at weird hours of the night. But no, I mean, I'm always trying to be around for people. And I, like I said, beginning is, I've had a lot of people, including yourself, that helped me tremendously. You know, there's always going to be a time when you're first starting out that you ask yourself, is this worth it? I'm not growing. I'm not getting people to watch. Is this worth it? And the answer is obviously yes. But remember, there's always people out there that have been through it already that can help you maneuver. And gee, you're one of those that to this day, you know, you are very instrumental into my believing in myself and staying with it. But understand, if you're out there and you're trying to, there's always someone that's been there. So if you want to ever reach out to myself or any of these other guys, I have no problem. I'd love to help you out any way I can. Not that I know much, but you know, I've been at that 100, 200, 300 sub level where it kind of plateaus for a while and you don't know what the hell you're doing wrong. And, maybe, you know, a little bit of insight and a little motivation could help. So I'm always around.
Right on. I just noticed we do have a couple of questions. You want to do a quick minute of real quick questions?
Sure.
First one from Trucker on the Gun Channel, on the YouTube side. Have you thought about holding a training class after you get done with all the travel or the training experiences you have with the training day?
Yeah, I actually, I do training at the range that I'm here. I don't publicize it a whole lot. But like I said, I want to start doing weekly clinics. I do fun shoots once a month at Buck Stanley out there. He comes through all the time. We try to put them in real world scenarios, make them have fun shooting steel and falling plates and swinging targets, but they're also learning skills. But yeah, I do, as far as like these big training things, I don't see myself doing that. I'm not that guy. But I do clinics and I will help anyone. If anyone wants to come and shoot with me, let's just have fun. I don't want to call it a training class. If anyone ever is in Arkansas and they want to go shoot, get a hold of me, man. I'll take you to the range and we'll go shoot and I make a day of it. So that side of it, yeah, I'm open for that anytime you want to do that. But as far as setting up an academy or, you know, and all that, I don't see myself doing that ever. No, I leave that to the big boys. I go train with them and I can pass that knowledge on, but I don't want to be that. That's too much work for me.
David, on the gun channel side, would you ever consider getting into politics, elected office?
Actually, I am heavily involved in politics already at the local level. I don't, I promised my wife years ago that I would never run for political office. I don't want to put her in that situation of having to be the politician's wife. That being said, I am very involved in the school board, and the local politics. Guitar man Pete, I'm always here, brother. But local politics, I've gotten a couple of mayors elected, school board members elected. I'm the guy that likes to be, I don't want to be the man. I want to own the man. Does that make sense? I don't want to be the guy in the spotlight. I want to be the one behind the curtain pulling the strings. I want to be the doctor, you know, Wizard of Oz. I want to be that behind the curtain because I can get a lot more done. I was contacted by the state Republican Party a couple months ago to run for state representative for my district. And I was very flattered with that, but I gave them some other names they should look at. Not because I don't want to do it, but like I said, I made a promise to my wife a long time ago that I wouldn't get involved with running for office. So that means something to me that I'm not going to do that to her.
Right on. Well, like you said, like, be involved in running for office. It's, you know, it's not, they're not mutually exclusive by any means.
No.
Switching topics, Grandpa Pete, or I think that's going to be Grandpa Pete. What do you use to store your videos after you edit them?
I've got a bunch of these Toshiba 1 terabyte drives, and I've got them one for, you know, I've got one for all sorts of, I've got probably like 6 or 7 of them. One for, you know, just regular videos or gun reviews or Operation Training Day or Drill of the Month or just whatever. I store them on these to where they're backed up after backup after backup. So I use an external hard drive. I use, you know, I usually have everything backed up on at least 2 or 3 different levels. So, but yeah, external hard drives for sure. I use Toshiba, and I don't know if they're good or not, but they've always worked for me.
Yeah, the best you can hope for is it doesn't fail. So as long as it's working, it works every time. I mean, you're talking external, like just a little thing that's the size of a pack of cigarettes, and you plug it in with a USB cord.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part of doing the Ghost Tactical show? That's from, or doing the Ghost Tactical channel. It's from David on the Gun Channel side.
The hardest part is not having enough time to do this full time. You know, you've got a family to support, you've got a mortgage, you've got bills, and now with other things going on in my family, I've got other things going on. It's not that I could quit my job. If I had the availability to quit my day job and do this full time, I absolutely would, but I've got to provide for my family. So I'd say time. Time is the biggest obstacle. I wish I could do it 24/7 because I like doing it that much, but, you know, you can't do it.
Valid answer. I put a link to your Patreon out there. If 1,000 people buy a Ghost a cup of coffee, I suspect that'd be a lot closer to.
That would help. That would definitely help. Yes.
last question then. Appreciate doing this like little round of quick questions here at the end. If the Marines called and asked you to come back, would you?
In a heartbeat. No doubt.
Right on. So take him a moment to answer.
Yeah, it would take me less time than that to sign the paperwork. And right time.
But Ghost, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for all you do. In an hour, you'll be on with Yuta talking about his new book, which is a book about teaching kids about the 27 words in our Second Amendment, what that means to them as little kids.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, he's got several books out already talking about how to introduce kids into firearm safety and firearm education. But I thought this is an awesome book because it's trying to explain to kids with the 27 words of the Second Amendment why they're so important. I think it's awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, in about 55 minutes or so. Yeah.
Right on. Last time we had Yuta on, it was an opportunity for me and him to chat a bit. He got into the 2A Patch Batch with us after that show. So, yeah, you're doing stuff. I hope you noticed how many people are thanking you and let you know that that's how they got into. doing your Drill of the Months?
You know, it's one of those things where, like I said, that's kind of why we do this, isn't it? To help somebody. Hopefully we're helping somebody. And for me, it's awesome. You have to understand that 2 years ago, I was some guy in a small town, Arkansas, that literally put a video up. And for me to, you know, I mean, I'm around 2,500. I think I'm about 20 away from 2,500 subs. And for me, for that, you know, people say that's a small channel. It is a very small channel. But for me, like, getting 100 subs was huge. I mean, getting 100 people in your mind to think that, you know, so-and-so cares. I've got 100 people that care about what I have to say or whatever is really eerie. So the fact that I actually am helping someone, I mean, that means the world. And I really appreciate all the thanks and all that. And I'm always here for you guys. And like I said, I've learned all this stuff from other people. And G has been, you know, a lot of what I know is because of G. And I think a lot of people, what they know is because of G. And having conversations for hours upon hours, sometimes at 3 a.m. and having good days and bad days, and him telling me to suck it up and quit bitching and fight through it and all that. So I think that we could all take a lesson from every day's a new day, but I appreciate everybody saying that. And thank you, G, for everything that you do, man. I really, you know how much I love you and appreciate you, but I really want to say that I appreciate you very much.
Right on. Well, thanks for being here. We'll end it with our friend Charles from Tucson here.
The guys and gals at gunwebsites.com encourage you to take a CCW class every year, practice at least once a month, and carry every day. Thanks for watching gunwebsites.com.